Welcome to another episode of The Inner Guidebook, the guidebook to a better you, a self-improved you, especially after today's topic. And what I want to speak about today really shaped who I've become in the past few months, really shaped how much I've progressed, and I went through a lot during my last two fights that really made me pick up on that lesson. And the topic of today's podcast is trusting the losses. And I didn't lose any of my fights. I didn't lose any of my fights or my last two fights or anything that I've went through. I didn't lose the fights. So that's not why today's topic is trusting the losses, but it's more of what I gained from my fights, what I gained from my fights in the ring and even outside of the ring, of everything that I've went through in the past few months, what I've gained from them, thinking that they were losses in the beginning, thinking that the idea of what I was going through is a loss. That's how I perceived it. But I ended up gaining so much out of what I thought was a loss. I ended up gaining so much of what I thought was a failure. And that's what brings me to my first point: the meaning of trusting the losses. When I say trust the losses, I mean that a loss is not instantly tied to a failure. A loss is not a failure. You could actually have a very successful loss. You could have a hugely successful loss. Or you could have a very big failure from a loss. But a loss is not a failure, because a loss only becomes a failure once you decide to perceive it that way, and once you decide to act on it that way. But then it can become a very successful loss once you decide to perceive it that way, and once you decide to act on it that way. So that's the meaning of trust the losses. I know it's hard in the beginning. I know it's hard instantly. I know it's hard in the moment, and that's fine. That's natural. Trust that despite the emotions, despite the feelings that you will go through in the beginning, it is not a failure. You will still have to go through the emotions. You will still have to try to control the emotions. You will still have to maybe struggle to control the emotions. It's all natural in the heat of the moment. At the moment, it will always feel like it's very hard to control, but trust it. Trust the losses and trust how you can deal with the losses. And trust how much you can gain from a loss. And when we talk about gaining from a loss, we need to start thinking, and we need to start knowing, and we need to start understanding that the biggest wins sometimes, the biggest wins often come in the form of a loss. Wins often come in the form of a loss, and wins can come in the form of a loss. Because the thing about wins that come in the form of a loss is they come in places that we never thought about, and they come in rooms that we haven't even been in rooms that we aren't in. That's the thing about the wins that come in the form of a loss. And to explain it better is that what you might perceive as a loss to yourself might be perceived as a very big win to others. What you might perceive as a failure to you could actually be the thing that makes you successful later on. So in a place that you weren't planning to be successful at, in a place that you weren't assessing strongly, how much more successful can you be in that place? So that's the problem about winning all the time, for example. If you win all the time, you never stop and assess. You never stop and truly, truly ask yourself the questions that are very hard to be answered. Where can I improve? Where do I need to improve? How much better can I get? Do I need to get better? These questions aren't often asked when you keep winning. Especially the more you win, the less you'll ask these questions. The more you start winning and only finding success, is the less you'll start asking questions about where you need to improve, if you need to improve, how much better can you get, if you need to get better. So that's the thing about losses, is that sometimes the biggest wins come in the form of a loss. The biggest wins come in places that you didn't think about. And when I say that, I mean places you weren't thinking you need to improve in, places you weren't thinking you need to get better in. And when I say they come in rooms that you are not in and rooms that you haven't been in, sometimes the people you were trying to prove wrong with a win, sometimes you prove them wrong from a loss. Sometimes you prove them wrong with how you carry yourself after a loss. Sometimes you prove them wrong in how you performed during the loss. So sometimes you gain more out of a loss than you would gain out of all your wins. And that's what happened to me in my most recent fight. My most recent fight, it wasn't a loss. It was a draw. Me and my opponent, we ended up drawing. It was a very tough fight, a very tough Mexican during Latino night, Mexican night, and he's Mexican. And it was a very, very tough fight that was ruled a draw. It was a back and forth fight. One round for me, one round for him. We're both standing in the middle of the ring, going back and forth. It was a true, true fight. And it was ruled a draw. But what I gained from that fight, I gained more from that fight than I gained from all my wins. Because of how tough the opponent was, and because of how exciting the fight was, and because of how it was so back and forth, that night, the reception of the global and international audience, the reception of the Saudi and Arab audience after that fight was that Zizo is a real fighter. Zizo is not here to joke around. Ziad can fight. He is a fighter, a true fighter, and he can really, really fight. That was a very tough opponent, and people are now eagerly waiting for the rematch, and they were so entertained, and they want to see more of Zizo fighting, and they want to see more of me fighting, and when am I going to fight again? When is the rematch? So I gained so much more out of what I think of as a loss, what I used to think of as a loss in me drawing the fight. I gained so much more out of that than if I had just won the fight like I won the rest of my fights. So when we speak about trusting the losses, I want to speak about a psychology point that's called the anchoring bias. The anchoring bias is when, in the moment, you go through a loss, when you go through a loss in a big moment, in a big dream you had, or in a big test, exam, performance. When you go through a loss in the moment, your mind anchors to the future. Your mind anchors to the future, and when it anchors to the future, it gives the future a lot more importance because it makes you think that your solution to the loss you are going through now is in that future, is how you are going to win in the future, is how you are going to fix it in the future, is how you are going to perform in the future, and it's how you are going to achieve it in the future. So The anchoring bias is that your mind instantly anchors very heavily to the future, giving it a lot more importance than what the future really deserves. So we need to recognize that. When you're learning to trust the losses that you go through in your life, as soon as you go through a big loss, before you let your mind determine if it's a failure or a success, what will really help with that is recognizing the anchoring bias. Recognizing it, recognizing that your mind is anchoring to the future, which you can do nothing about in the present. And when you feel like you can do nothing about it, that's when a loss becomes a failure. A loss becomes a failure when you feel like there is nothing to do about it now anymore. And that's what the anchoring bias is. So recognize that. Stop that. And when you do that, your mind will shift back to the present. And once you shift back to the present, you will really understand and know how to deal with your next steps. Just focus on the next step. The next step is A, B, and C. Don't shift straight away to X, Y, and Z before going through the rest of the letters. So when you recognize the anchoring bias and you go back to the present and you focus only on your next step, you will then be able to trust the losses a lot better. When you trust the losses, you begin to understand that not every loss is a failure. A loss is not tied to a failure, and a failure is not determined for us. We determine the failure. We determine if the loss is the failure. So it's very important to know that it is not determined for us. The result is nothing we can control. We can control the performance. We can control the work we put in during the moment of the test. We can control the work we put in before the test. And we can also control the work we put in after the test, after the result. That's what will determine the failure. So let's get rid of the idea that a failure is determined for us by the result. A failure is not determined for you by a result. A result is a result. It's either a loss for you or it's a win for you. But when you classify it as a failure, it becomes a failure to everybody. When you classify it as a success, it becomes a success to everybody and everything. So when you determine it to be a failure, it becomes a failure to everything and everyone. And when you determine it to be a success, it becomes a success to everything and everyone. That's the thing about trusting the losses. Trust the losses and trust what you will gain out of the losses. And once you start learning how to deal with the losses after you first trust them, then you will deal with them properly. Then you will act upon them properly, perceive them properly. Then you get into what I call the flow state. The flow state, I wish I could talk about it on the podcast. I wish I could explain it in a way you will understand it. But that's the thing about the flow state. The feeling of being in the flow state is indescribable. I wish I could talk about it in the podcast. I wish I could explain it and go deep into it, but I can't. But I can tell you how to get into the flow state and how it feels to be in the flow state. Because when you are in the flow state is when you are performing and you are no longer afraid of the loss. Not that you are no longer caring about a loss, you still care, you still give the result importance, you still put in all the work to win. You want to pass the test, you want to win the moment of test, if it's in sports, if it's in your job, if it's a big moment, you still attract that, you still visualize that, you still aim and go for that. But you no longer are afraid of what will come from a loss. You no longer think about it. You no longer care so much for it. So then you go into the flow state. And the feeling of being in the flow state is you go on autopilot, where you start operating based on the work you've been putting in and not on the work you are putting in now. The work you are putting in now is determined by all the work you've been putting in. And let me tell you a little secret about all the work you've been putting in. You know what determines how hard of work you've been putting in? It's the losses you faced before. The losses you faced before, the small losses, the big losses, the huge losses that you faced before that big moment of testing that you're in now, that's what determined the amount of work that you put in. So why aren't we trusting the losses? Trust the losses because the losses you went through are what got you to today. The losses you went through are what got you working so hard that you are here today. And when you are no longer afraid of a loss because you are so confident that you will gain so much from a loss, no matter what the result is, if the result is a loss, you're confident it's a loss for a reason. And you are confident in the reasons you will see and find out and figure out after you get that loss. And when you think about it and perceive it that way, no loss is a failure. Losses are never a failure, and they only become success. And they only become wins. You get the biggest wins in forms of losses.
So what would you say to someone who's sort of, they've had a loss, they're at rock bottom, they don't see how they can learn, how they can grow, how they can move forward, and sort of what the future holds for them? What would you say to someone?
You aren't supposed to see it. That's the thing about a loss, is that you aren't supposed to see straight away what's going to come out of it. You aren't supposed to know straight away what's going to come out of it. And that's about anything in life, anything that's worth a risk, anything that's worth dreaming, anything that's you are aiming to achieve. You aren't supposed to know what's going to happen. So stop trying to know today what's going to happen in a year. Stop trying to know today what's going to happen in a month from now based on the work you've just put in today or based on the risk you've just taken today. You aren't supposed to know. You know why you aren't supposed to know? Because it's that unknown that gets you working so hard until you find out. So it's that little gray area, it's that little unknown area that gets you working very hard, that gets you constantly working every single day until you find out why, until you find out what you've gained from the loss, until you find out what you've won from taking that risk, until you find out what you've won from not giving up on yourself, not stopping after a loss. So that's why we aren't supposed to know. And another thing that comes from not knowing what we are going to gain out of a loss straight away is faith. So where is faith if we know? Where will faith be if you already know everything? Where will faith be in you, in yourself, in your family, in your friends, in the universe, in God? Faith in whatever you believe in, whatever supports you, whatever helps you. Where will faith play a part if you know straight away? If you know straight away what you've gained from a loss? If you know straight away how much better you're going to get from a loss? How much better you've already gotten from a loss straight away, and you know, where's faith? Then faith doesn't play a role. Then faith doesn't have any space to play a role. And then without faith, we don't take risks. And without taking risks, then we don't achieve. And to achieve, you need to work. And to work, you need to have faith. And it's a whole circle. But to have faith and to work and to achieve and to take risk, they all have one thing in common, and it's not knowing. And it's not trying to know straight away, and it's not trying to find out straight away. And it's funny you speak about that. And it's funny you speak about how do we know what we've gained from a loss, and how do we find out straight away. The only thing we're gonna decide for ourselves from a loss is if it's a failure or if it's a success. And failure and success of a loss is decided by who we become after it. Failure and success of a loss is only decided by who we become after it and what we do about it after it.
So I suppose it's more having faith in who you're going to become, what you're going to learn from that process.
Having faith in that, trusting that the losses will lead to that. So trust your losses, trust that the losses will lead to a better version, an improved version. So it's not having faith in who you will become or what you who you might become or what you might become. It's not a might. It's a question of trusting it, having faith in it. I know that this loss today is a success because of who I will become after it and what I will achieve from it and what I will pick up from it. That's what determines if a loss is a failure or a success. So once you see who you start becoming from a loss, then you start trusting the loss. Once you see what you've picked up from the loss, then you start trusting the loss. But the problem with, it's actually not a problem, it's the beautiful thing about learning to trust the loss a long time after you've gone through it, is that you end up slowly but surely trusting the loss instantly. Because you go through a feeling of small regret of, why didn't I trust this loss earlier? Why didn't I have faith in this loss earlier? Why wasn't I so confident in this, in turning this loss into a success, or in that this loss will turn into a very successful thing for me? Why didn't I have faith in that earlier? Why didn't I trust this loss earlier? So you go through a feeling of regret. You know why? Because you've been beating yourself up. You've been beating yourself up while working hard. So what you end up doing is, once you start learning how to trust the losses instantly, you start working as hard without beating yourself up. That's the beautiful thing about trusting the loss. And when we talk about trusting the loss, we need to also tie that with optimism. The misconception around optimism is that you either have it or you don't. People think that optimism is like that. You're either an optimist or you're a pessimist. And if you're an optimist, you can't be a pessimist. And if you're a pessimist, you can't be an optimist. When in psychology, actually, when you study it, optimism is learned. Optimism is picked up and it's learned and it's built on upon. That's what optimism is, because the pessimism is easier to see. The pessimism is actually the first thing you see. That's why there is the anchoring bias. Why is it that your mind goes straight into anchoring into an unsure moment to give you so many unsure feelings that will give you, you know, feelings of a pessimist and ideas of pessimism? So that's the misconception around optimism and pessimism. And when we speak about trusting the losses, you need to be an optimist. And you need to understand that optimism is learned.
If someone doesn't sort of adopt optimism and they maintain just being a pessimist, what's down the road? What's the long-term effects of just being a pessimist through life?
It's, well, you know, there's something called neuroplasticity. Neuroplasticity is that the idea is the idea that your brain rewires after a loss. So after you make a mistake and you go through a result that you didn't want, or you go through a result that you weren't favoring for yourself, or you've made a mistake and you've lost, the brain rewires. After the brain rewires, and that's what neuroplasticity is, after the brain rewires, it learns from the mistakes. It starts, you know, finding patterns in what to do in the future to avoid the same mistake. The only thing that will differentiate, the only thing that will separate if you will make that mistake again, or if you will go on and pave another way and find the success, is optimism. So, because the brain naturally rewires, and that's what neuroplasticity is again, because the brain naturally rewires after a loss, after making a mistake, the path you choose for yourself through optimism or pessimism is what will determine if you go through the same mistake again, or if you start pushing and trusting the loss and trusting what you've learned from it, and asking the hard questions and working towards the hard answers. And then you become an optimist because you trust that when asking these questions, I found the answers. I would work on myself, I would improve on myself, and that will get me better. That's what optimism is. Optimism is learned. Again, optimism is learned. You are not either born like that or born like this. Optimism is picked up and it's learned. So the pathway you choose through optimism is so important, so that loss or that mistake is not engraved as a failure. You won't perceive it as a failure. You won't think of it as a failure.
So it's almost kind of like nothing changes if nothing changes.
Nothing changes if nothing changes. You know, Einstein said that the real madness is in doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And that's what trusting the loss is. So trust the loss and trust what you will learn from it and what you will pick up from it, because it's very important to talk about what Einstein said, actually, when he said that the biggest madness and the real madness is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Because in psychology, you learn that your brain is very stubborn sometimes. Your brain is very stubborn in something that you've put in a lot of work in. So your brain is very stubborn in something that you've put in a lot of time, you've put in a lot of work, you've put in a lot of research. And when you make a mistake, despite the way you've been doing it, your brain will try to convince you to keep doing it the same way, because you've put in so much work and so much time and so much effort. So the brain will try to push that, no, just do it again the same way. And that's how we are naturally wired to think. That's how naturally wired we are, that when you've put in so much time and effort, you will find yourself thinking, okay, how can I achieve what I want to achieve, but by still doing the same thing as much as I can? When sometimes, like I said, your brain is going to rewire, and the path you choose is just going to determine if you turn the loss into a failure or the loss into a success. To me and to everyone, and everyone I've seen around me, a loss is a win. I have went through moments, especially the past 6 months, especially since the last episode of the Inner God book. I've went through moments in my fight in LA, for example. My fight in LA was initially ruled a draw, and it was my US debut, the one of the biggest moments of my boxing career, the first ever Saudi professional boxer to fight in the United States. And it's my own US debut. So many hopes are placed on me. So many people are looking at me, watching me. And I end up drawing the fight. I perceived that draw as a loss, not as a draw. I took it as a loss because I don't go through a whole training camp to draw. I don't travel 1,000 miles away, family behind, friends behind, everything, sacrifices made, body goes through what it goes through to go in and then draw, especially representing what I represent and you know, the pressure that I carry with me and the hopes that I carry with me. I don't go to draw. I perceived it as a loss. I took that draw as a loss, which is no problem, by the way. That's just high standards and that's fine in sports. My problem was taking the loss as a failure. So what ended up happening, by the way, in the LA fight, it was initially ruled a draw. A week later, we found out that my opponent failed his drug test, the training camp drug test, and fight night, he failed his drug test, triple the dosage. And the reason we found out a week after is because the results take a long time to be shipped out and you need to wait for both results, the training camp and the fight. So it took a week for the results to come back. And then it took another week for the commission to decide to overrule the decision of the fight and give me the win. So it was officially ruled as a win for me. Only fair anyways, because I did win that fight, but it, you know, the judges ruled it a draw. And it was a draw, so they disqualified him, so I won the fight. In that week, I went through the emotions. I went through the consequences of perceiving a loss as a failure. That's what happened to me, Jordan. I went through the consequences, not the emotions. I went through the consequences of perceiving that loss from the LA fight as a failure, because I picked up so much from that fight, and me drawing that fight just in that week alone got me thinking about so much. Where did I go wrong with my performance? What could I have done better? Where should I put in the work to do better? Where have I been lacking? Where did I stop working at that got me to where I'm to where I'm at? And where did I mess up mentally? Where did I mess up before the fight? Fight week, all of fight week. Where did I mess up in camp? Where did I mess up after the fight? I kept thinking about it. But there's a difference between thinking about it, and there's a difference between beating up yourself about it. And I beat myself up about it because I perceived it as a failure. When if I had perceived the loss as a loss that I will turn into a success, then I would be thinking about it the same way. It's good to think about it when a result doesn't go my way. It's good to think that like that. Where have I been lacking? And I found out. I stopped talking to my mental performance coach. That whole camp, didn't have a single session with my mental performance coach. I started thinking that I got this now. I got this, and I know how to deal with the pressure. I know how to deal with the stress. I started pushing thoughts from my conscience to my subconscious. And what happens is, when you do that, is you think you've solved everything. But in the moment, in the heat of the moment, all the thoughts that are in the subconscious that you haven't dealt with, they go up to your conscience. And that's what causes choking under pressure. Choking under pressure, I don't say like the feeling. I mean the term, the psychology term, where you start judging your performance negatively while you are performing, which causes you to, you know, lose confidence, lose control, panic, hyperventilate, all of that stuff. So I realized I stopped talking to my mental performance coach. Then I realized instead of doing 3 conditioning runs a week, I was doing 2 conditioning runs a week and substituting a conditioning run, the third one, with a recovery run, because I thought 2 was enough, because it said 2 to 3. So I thought 2 was enough. So it just got me asking the questions that I was supposed to ask myself, Jordan, but I asked them in a way of where I perceived the loss as a failure. And then when they came back with the decision that my opponent failed his drug test, I was like, wow. So I'm going to win the fight at the end. I won the fight at the end. But I learned so much from the initial result. I actually learned more from the initial result, it being a draw.
Self-analysis.
Yeah, I self-reflected. I thought, I sat down and I asked myself the hard questions, and I actually learned so much more in those 2 weeks. I'm so thankful for those 2 weeks.
So doing all that criticism of yourself when you thought it was the draw, do you think on that camp, maybe you allowed yourself to become a bit comfortable?
I didn't allow myself to get more comfortable. I suffered the consequences of winning. I suffered the consequences of not controlling the win.
What do you mean? So how is that not sort of comfort? What do you mean by that?
So everything will come with its consequences. And it's like the way you have to trust and deal with the losses, you have to also trust and deal with the wins. So a loss can give you what a win won't. And a win can give you what a loss won't. And when I say that, I mean you could actually lose more from winning, and then you can also gain more from losing. And it's all on how you trust each of them. So you have to trust the losses. And when we say that, we describe the meaning in the beginning, is trust how you will deal with the losses. Trust what can come out of the losses, and trust how you can control what will come out of the losses. Same thing for the winning. When you start winning and winning and winning and winning, you need to trust what you will gain out of the wins. You need to trust what might come out of the constant wins. And part of that is feeling that you did it all. Part of that is feeling that you are getting, part of it is feeling too comfortable. And when you feel too comfortable, you don't ask yourself the questions of, where do I need to work as hard? Where do I need to work harder? Where do I need to stay more consistent? Where do I need to put in more work? You start thinking that the work you've put in that has gotten you to here is the work you need to keep putting in to get you to there.
So would you say...
So you start thinking that the work you've been putting in that has gotten you to level one is the same work you still have to keep putting in to go to level two. And that doesn't make any sense. And that's the consequences of winning. And I think that's what I went through in my LA fight. But it's, again, you know, we don't learn more from losses, okay? It's not that, you know, the saying where you learn more from losses than you do from wins. It's not that you learn more from losses. You learn longer from losses. And when I say you learn longer from losses, it's that it sticks with you. What you learn from a mistake, a big mistake, what you learn from a loss, big or small, sticks with you forever. And you learn longer from it only if you perceive it as a success. But you will beat up it, but you will beat yourself up about it for the longest time if you perceive it as a failure. So we don't learn more from losses than we do from the wins. We learn longer from the losses because of how it sticks with us and how much longer it gets us working. So losses are not failures. I think losses are not failures. Losses are eye-openers for sustained glory. Losses are not failures. They're eye-openers for sustained glory. And when I say that, is they're eye openers for what you need for sustained glory. what you've been doing while winning and winning and winning before you get to the loss is not what's going to teach you the sustained glory or what you need to sustain that glory. You sometimes need that loss to sustain the glory. And that's why I always say sometimes you need to lose brilliantly so you can win greatly. So lose very well so you can win and become a great. You know, there's a difference between winning and becoming good and winning and becoming great. And to win and become great, you need to lose. But you need to lose in a specific way. You need to lose brilliantly. And losing brilliantly is only determined by how much you trust the loss when you go through it. How much you trust the loss and how well you deal with the loss and how you pick yourself up from the loss and you learn from the loss and you ask yourself the tough questions and you answer those questions as tough as it is. You need to do it so you can lose brilliantly and win greatly. So ask yourself the questions that you have been afraid to ask yourself. That's what I love about trusting the loss. And that's what I love about loss. And again, when I say loss, I don't mean you're going to lose you're going to fail a test. I don't mean you're going to fail a big moment of a test. Maybe you can, you know, maybe you can get a B or a C when you've been wanting to get an A. Maybe you can draw a fight when you only work to win it, when you've only been wanting to win it. Maybe you will get a specific job promotion when you really wanted a higher promotion. So when I say loss, I don't mean flat out failure. And I don't mean a failure type of performance or a failure type of, again, you determine that. By loss, I mean not getting the result you wanted. So ask yourself the questions you're afraid of the answers to. Ask yourself the questions you're afraid of the answers to. That's how you start trusting the loss. Once you go through a loss, ask yourself those questions. Because it's the questions you're afraid of the answers to that really improve you, that really guide you to a better you, an improved you, one that has learned from the loss, one that has evolved from the loss.
Would you say overconfidence is dangerous? You know, someone who's experienced success, going through a lot of wins, never had that thing that humbled them, that brought them down to reality, the loss that they could learn from. They've only ever experienced success.
Mm. Too much of anything is dangerous.
Yeah.
I used to not believe that. I used to be like, oh, but if you control it well, as long as you're going through it, then it's not dangerous. But you will never control it as well until your brain rewires you to control it that well because you've went through the loss or the mistake. And the people, by the way, that you see who have always won, for example, like Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather is a boxer. He's undefeated, retired undefeated, and fought the best. But you don't know what Floyd Mayweather went through in his training camps. You don't know what Floyd Mayweather went through in some of his controversial fights, where maybe he finished one of those fights and said, I feel like I drew that fight, but the judges gave me the win today. Or I feel like I didn't perform the way I wanted to in that fight. And that's what got him working and asking those questions and dealing with that loss that he could have chose either it be a failure, either it become a success. And so that's what got him asking the same questions, thinking the same way, and going through the same emotions. And that had gotten him to retiring undefeated. You don't know what he's been through. And I'm telling you right now, every single person that you see today that is constantly winning, is constantly getting the great results, is never losing. Every single person that you are seeing today like that has lost somewhere or is losing somewhere to make them win the way they are. So it's not necessarily they're losing where they're winning. They could be losing in another place, but they're winning in that place. And that's what I talked about in the beginning. Sometimes the biggest wins come in the form of a loss. And I say that because they come in places you weren't thinking about, and they come in rooms that you haven't been in. They come with people that you haven't even met, how they think about you, how they want to work with you, or how they want to hire you, or how they want to give you an opportunity. Sometimes a loss and how you pick yourself up and how you perform during that loss. And sometimes you win so much more out of that, but in other places. And that's why I say, when you see today someone that is like that, who's always winning, where you are always trying to win, they've lost before, or they're still losing today, just in places you haven't seen and in rooms you haven't been in. So when I say ask yourself the questions that are hard to answer, ask yourself the difficult questions that are hard to think of the answers to, that are hard to actually even admit the answers to. I'm trying to tell you, ask the questions when you go through a loss. Start asking those questions, and that's part of trusting the loss and trusting what you will gain out of a loss. But don't worry, because another beautiful thing about going through the loss and facing a loss is that these questions will get asked either you like it or not. How you choose to answer them, and if you choose to answer them, is what determines if a loss is a failure or a success. So the questions will be asked in your conscience, if you push them to your subconscious, the questions will be there. You will ask yourself the questions once you go through a loss, how you answer them, and if you even find the guts and the courage and the bravery and the trust to start answering these questions is what determines if a loss is a failure or a success. So don't you worry, the loss will ask you the questions and will get you asking the questions. So when you start being asked those difficult questions and you start slowly answering them, once you find the courage, the bravery, the guts to answer these questions, and you start getting the fruits of the labor that you put in to even just answer these questions, and you start seeing how much you are gaining from answering these questions that you are being asked by the loss you've went through, or you are being asked because of the loss you went through, you start then trusting the loss, but only months after you've gone through it. And then you go through the feeling of regret that we spoke about, the feeling of regret where you regret not trusting the loss earlier, because you've been going through the work, you've been putting in the work of answering the tough questions, improving where you need to improve, getting better where you need to get better, focusing on the little details. You're doing everything great now. You're back to where you were when you first wanted it, when you're putting even more work in, but you were beating up yourself about it in the process. So then if you had trusted the loss from the beginning, you wouldn't have been beating yourself up about it. You would have just been working. So you go through the feeling of regret of, why didn't I trust this loss from the beginning? And all you need is one loss. All you need is one loss that you trust. So not just losses that you classify as failures and you do nothing about and you give up on your dreams. And all you need is one loss that you go through in life that you trust. You trust the loss. You trust what will come out of the loss and how much you will gain out of the loss. All you need is one. So then you start trusting every single loss that you go through. So then you start trusting the losses instantly. You start trusting the losses straight away. You start getting excited about the losses straight away, because you will become a better version, an enhanced version of yourself, and you will become a more successful version because of how you dealt with the loss and how you trusted the loss. And so there is a term in psychology, and it comes from Japanese, you know, practice where they fix broken pottery with gold, and it's called kintsugi. And kintsugi is that term in psychology. Kintsugi comes from that practice in Japan where they fix broken pottery with gold. And we use that term in psychology to think about ourselves, to think about how you start fixing yourself after losses, how you start fixing yourself after a loss. So every single time a piece of you breaks from a loss, it's replaced with gold. The piece that was broken is pottery. The piece that was broken is clay. But when you learn and when you fix it, you've replaced it with gold. Never, never, never breaks. Never goes away. Shines brighter, heavier, is more valuable. You've replaced the broken piece with gold. And that's what the psychology term kintsugi comes from. Like PTSD in humans, there's also PTG, post-traumatic growth. So like post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and it's like what you go through after a trauma and what a trauma can do to you, and the fear it might instill in you, or the habits it might instill in you to avoid it or to just not think about it, or what you might go through if you just think about it. There's also PTG, which is post-traumatic growth. So with PTG, post-traumatic growth is you go through a loss, you go through a mistake that was so traumatic where it inspires and pushes insane levels of growth, and levels of growth where you will keep pushing and you will keep working and you will keep having that PTG, that post-traumatic growth, where you will keep working, pushing, improving, and looking for details and trying so hard to never have that feeling again, to never go through not the moment of a loss, but the feelings of not being able to deal with the loss, or the feelings of having to deal with that loss, thinking it's a failure. So I ask everyone, if you've picked up anything from this episode, if you will pick up anything from this episode, is to trust your losses. Keep trusting them. Keep trusting them. Trust them once, twice, three times. Even if you get it wrong the first time and you give up on one loss, don't stop trying to trust the losses, because we always learn from them. We just see it down the line. Once you see it down the line, you will then start convincing yourself, okay, you know what? I should start trusting every loss instantly now. So trust them. But the biggest part, and that's what I want to close with, the biggest part of trusting a loss is not mistaking that with not going through the emotions of a loss. Don't beat yourself up about being upset about a loss. Don't beat yourself up about being frustrated about it, about feeling hopeless about it in the moment. Don't beat yourself up about that, because it's you expecting to not go through these emotions, and it's you expecting that you will properly suppress these emotions of being upset or being disappointed or being frustrated. You trying to suppress the emotions and you expecting to not go through them is what honestly stops you the most from learning to trust the loss. So to become a better you, to become an enhanced version of you, to grow, to develop, And to become the best version of yourself, trust your losses. Trust your losses. And this was the inner guidebook today with a very important lesson from me, your host, Ziad Al-Ma'youf, and my very good friend, who you've heard chip in, my videographer, my friend, and my brother, Jordan.
It was a pleasure.
Always, 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 brother, always. This was the Inner Guidebook, and I'll see you at the next one.